Tell it to Jesus alone.
Good evening. Of soldiers came and carried him away. Chained up between two watchmen, Peter tried to sleep. But beyond the walls, an endless prayer was lifted for his keep. Then a light cut through the darkness of a lonely prison cell, and the chains that bound the man of God just opened up and fell. And running to his people before the break of day, there was only one thing on his mind, only one thing to say. Angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me, every step I take. Angels watching over me. God only knows the times my life was threatened just today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. Near misses all around me, accidents unknown. Though I never see with human eyes the hands that lead me home, but I know they're all around me, all day and through the night. When the enemy is closing in, I know sometimes they fight. To keep my feet from falling, I'll never turn away. If you're asking what's protecting me, you're gonna hear me say, God is angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me, every step I take. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me, every move I make. Angels watching over me. Angels watching over me, every step I take. Angels watching over me. Though I never see with human eyes the hands that lead me home.
Okay, we want to continue praying for Brandy. Has there been any idea as to when she's going to get out of the hospital yet? Okay.
The therapy doctor's coming in to check on her. She's getting some strength from her stroke and she's getting a little bit sent home.
Okay.
So we're not sure when.
Okay. She's got a lot of physical healing to do too. So we'll be in prayer for that. All right. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Revelation chapter 14? There is a heavy involvement of angels during the tribulation. Most Christians don't really stop to think of all the ways in which the angels are involved in our lives now. The Bible tells us that we have guardian angels. Some of us are so clumsy we may need extra angels to help us through things that could kill us. There are angels, the Bible tells us, that are over nations. There may be one angel that's in charge of the entire United States. But then again, the way God does things, he organizes things in a hierarchy so that, well, maybe one angel is over the entire United States. There may be one angel that is over each state. Maybe one angel over each county. We don't know exactly how that goes. But we do know that there are angels in charge of different things. The Bible says that there are angels in charge of the winds. Certain areas like the El Nino and so on, the angels actually move these things. There are angels that are sent on special assignments. For an example, the shepherds watching their flock by night. Suddenly an angel appears and announces the birth of Jesus. And then it says, with the angel came the heavenly host, singing praises to the Lord. And that was a special assignment. Other angels are sent to carry special messages. For an example, we have Daniel praying. He had been fasting 21 days. And the angel came and said, God heard you immediately. But I've been delayed in the atmosphere. I had to fight my way through because there were fallen angels, angels of the devil, that hindered him. Hindered him 21 days. Now, I don't know if any of us have the rank or importance that the devil would try to stop answers to prayer, but it certainly is a possibility that some prayers don't get answered right away, or we don't get the answer right away because the devil is hindering it. And that is biblical. We know that over every church age, every time period, that angels are the ones who are actually ministering to people, encouraging people within that particular time frame. There's seven church ages, as you know, and we're in the last church age, Laodicea, and there is an angel over every one of the church ages. Let me just touch on that real quick. You don't have to turn there in your Bible. You can see it a little later. Revelation chapter 2 says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Then in chapter 2, verse 12, to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, and then he goes on. Revelation 2:18, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, and then he gives the message. Revelation 3:1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write. And Revelation 3:7, unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia. In other words, over every single church age, there is an angel that is to minister and obviously would be held accountable for what goes on during that church age. Now, I mentioned special assignments. We already read in Revelation chapter 14 some of those special assignments. And angels are sent out to accomplish certain things. Almost all the plagues come because the Lord authorized an angel to bring judgment down on the earth. Now, let me just throw this in, and most of you already know this, but just in case somebody doesn't. The Bible does not tell us to try to communicate with angels. The Bible doesn't say, you know, try to seek out your angel. That is almost satanic, because the Bible says we have one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus. So we're not supposed to be seeking communication with angels. If God sent them to communicate with us, it is God's message to us. But we're not supposed to go out there seeking angels. The other thing is, there was several years ago, and I know there's a little bit of it still around, where people were actually worshiping angels. They would get little trinkets, hang them from their door, hang them in a window, that represents an angel. And, you know, you're not even supposed to communicate with your guardian angel. That isn't your place. If God wants to send a message by an angel, that's different. That's Him communicating with us. But we are not in any way supposed to be worshiping them or in any way trying to communicate with them. God tells us what we need to know. And let me just throw that in as kind of a warning to everybody to stay away from the current trend of bypassing Jesus. That isn't going to work. Now, in Revelation chapter 15, we read about a couple angels already. And then in verse 15, it says, "Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time is come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.' And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." And the winepress, well, we'll get to that a little bit later when we study Armageddon. The angels carry the souls of men to their eternal destination. It's a well-documented area in other scriptures as well. If you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Let's take a look at verse 27. "And then shall he send his angels." This is talking about Jesus. See, this isn't something the angels come up with. The angels are not running the universe. The angels are simply servants. And they are blessed. They are empowered. They are ministering spirits. But they are not running the universe and coming up with ideas on their own. They are faithful servants of God if they are the angels of the Lord. And so it says, "He shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven." Now, what happens is the angels have a responsibility, as always, to obey the commands of God. And it says Jesus sends them out. They are sent to gather the harvest. He's talking about souls. What happens when a person dies? I'd encourage you to read the area of scripture where it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that one? The rich man was eating sumptuously, and the crumbs would fall from his plate, his table, and fall down. And Lazarus, the poor man, would go and get the crumbs and eat them. And the Bible tells us that the angels came when Lazarus, the poor man, died and carried him into paradise. The Bible also makes it clear that when the rich man died, that his soul was carried into a place of torment. And you remember him pleading, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may bring just a drop of water for my tongue. Well, this and many other scriptures show the involvement of angels when it comes to us departing from this earth. Sometimes people actually see the angels as the people who are dying are leaving this earth. Sometimes. I've heard of many such cases. Not all, but many such cases. I have relatives who were saved, and it was a beautiful thing, comforting to everybody around who was saved. When, this precious woman raised her hands and she says, I'm ready, Lord. And the angels took her hands. And as her soul left her body, her physical hands just dropped. The life was gone. The angels had taken her. I've shared with you before about a man who was at one time a missionary. I won't go into the whole story, but he was conscious. The doctor just said that he had 6 months to live. God said otherwise. I was there when he said, there he is in the corner. You see him? No, we can't see him. And he said, he's there. He's waiting for me. I'm ready. And so he was able to see the angel. And the angel took him that day. And as a matter of fact, shortly after I left, and brought him into heaven. Now, what do we look for? What should we expect? There are many different situations. Sometimes there's more than one angel that comes for a person. I don't know why. In most cases that I know of, it's just one angel. But in some cases I've heard there have been several, or two or more. So this is the role of angels. And during the time of the tribulation that is coming up, they're going to be carrying out a great many things. But as with most things that God does, there are preparations made. God does things in an orderly way. If you look at how he created the heavens and the earth, when Adam had sinned, there were animals there already. Now, God could have said, let me hold off on creating these other animals until after Adam is done with his thing. But he didn't. There was planning involved. God had to create certain things, bring them into being, before the next thing could be done. And it's very much the same way with angels. You know as well as I do, those of you who make cakes and you busy in the kitchen making great things. There is a way that you have to do things in an orderly way, or else you're going to get halfway done and suddenly realize, I don't have this ingredient. It's not going to work. So it's the same way with angels. Right now, there are things going on around the world, in the atmosphere, all over, that angels are preparing for what is up ahead. And we don't see the angels working, but we see certain things being done that are evidence that something pretty traumatic is going to take place. The Bible talks about a great mountain going into the ocean. And the way it is described, it has every indication of being a Western state. Now, if that is to take place, just the way God does things, there has to be preparation. In other words, there have to be fault lines that are so deep. There have to be geological things going on underneath the surface. Magma building up, pressure building up, in order to break off an entire country and send it into the ocean. And what we see right now, that's happening. That's happening. So angels are very, very active in preparing for the judgments that will come during the tribulation. We see changes in people. Wow. Go to 2 Timothy 3. You see all these changes taking place. Attitudes, the way people are. The disrespect of young people. You know, one of the things the Bible tells us is God's going to use the angels and bring the Jewish people back to the land. Some of you may have already seen this on the news, but in New York, the police are actually finding excuses to go into Jewish homes, Orthodox Jewish homes, and get on to them because there are 10 people in the house. Well, wait a second. You take an older Jewish family, they've got 12 kids. They have big families. Why is it such a shame to have 10 people in the house? Well, because Mayor de Blasio or Governor Cuomo says 10 people is too much. What are you going to do with the leftovers? Which two of your kids are you going to throw out into the street? But the cops are coming in. Now, one particular one is interesting, where the police supposedly were called for a parking violation. They come up to a Jewish home, knock on the door. They force their way into the Jewish home, no warrant, and they start saying, you got too many people in this house. Well, they were sent there to deal with a parked car, not with counting out how many people were in there. At the same time, you look in certain areas in New York and you will find that hatred toward the Jews is growing tremendously. Now, what does this have to do with angels? Angels are spirits, aren't they? Ministering spirits. Now, they're special. We're not going to go into the aspect of them becoming physical at times. But these angels are preparing the way for the Jewish people to be forced out of America and back to Israel, just as the Bible said. It takes preparation. What is happening in America today is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And like I say, no matter who wins the election, things are never going to be the same. This country is about to explode. And part of the reason is that angels have been at work and they are organizing. I mean, talk about Antifa. What about angels? Getting people prepared for what is up ahead. So this is an important study that we would be more conscious that God knows what's going on. And while there are a lot of people saying, heal us, heal us, heal us, God also knows there isn't any serious repenting going on a wide scale. So God, knowing all these things, sends his angels out preparing for judgment. Preparing for judgment. Now you'll notice something. It says he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Four winds. Do some Bible research. You will find that there are angels in charge of the various wind currents. And again, in preparation for what is to come. Yet, you know, there was a movie put out years ago called The Perfect Storm. And it talks about all the wind factors, all the weather factors coming together to produce the perfect storm. They haven't seen anything yet, because the factors are pulling together to produce the greatest storms, the most horrible hurricanes, more tornadoes than at any other time in history. We have other things going on that are a part of this. Can fires actually change weather?
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the western area, you know, of this country, you know that fires actually can produce their own weather. And as the heat is built up, there are things that go on underneath the surface. You know, what goes on top of the earth, it's just the top of the crust. Does it affect what is underneath? Yeah, definitely. And any of you who have done any baking, you know this, that just because something is burned on top doesn't mean it's burned underneath. And sometimes when something gets burned on top, it does cook what is underneath. A variety of factors get involved. But again, what is causing these things? Angels have their assignments. Angels have their work to do in preparation for the tribulation. And it's important that we recognize this. And when we look at what's on the world scene, it's important for us to recognize God is aware of it, and God is behind many of the things that are happening. The coronavirus, is this something just snuck up on God and he didn't expect it? Not at all. Not at all. You take something that basically has the same death rate as influenza, and suddenly it manifests itself, boils over to become the most predominant news story, the most frightening aspect of life in 2020. Somebody posted, and I think it's interesting. They said, and keep this in mind, next Sunday is time change. And they said, you're going to get an extra hour. And they said, well, gladly give it back, because we don't need another hour of 2020. A lot of things going on today that nobody expected. God knew. And there are things happening around the world today that are following the direction of angels and the movement of angels. They have a lot of impact. Demons are spirits also, aren't they? Can demons speak to people?
Yes.
If demons can speak to people, can't the ministering spirits of God also speak to people? There are a lot of things that go on in this world that we can't see. Doesn't mean that they're not true. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. But we have to base our faith upon what God says. And God says that he has his angels working, ministering. He has his angels accomplishing things in preparation for what is about to take place on the earth called the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 14, it mentions about, and we've read that, but I want to read it again. It mentions about the angels who are going to be reaping souls. Revelation 14:18. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. I'm just talking about what's going to happen geologically. Do you realize the amount of heat being produced in the western states? Colorado is experiencing what I've read is the worst fire condition that they've ever had in history. In Colorado. Now in California, it's actually just as much, if not more. Places being burned, thousands of people having to evacuate, people in stress condition almost all the time because they don't know when the next one's going to break out. But fires are constantly a major problem. Does that produce heat? Oh, yeah. And I haven't heard any scientists say that that may be a cause of global warming. Isn't that interesting? Angel who had power over fire cried to him that had a sharp sickle, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. These are things that angels are involved with today. Back in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Let's take a look at verse 28. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. In other words, sowing tares and wheat in the same field. An enemy hath done this. Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And these servants that he has, these servants are the angels. They're the ones who are doing this gathering. Verse 39, the enemy that hath sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are what? The reapers are the angels. The reapers are the angels. You know, it's going to take an awful lot of angels to deal with the deaths that will occur in the tribulation. Do we know how many? There are theologians that waste their time trying to figure out how many angels there are. Last I heard, God did not do a census last year. He just made angels, and he doesn't tell us how many. But we know this, there are sure a lot of them. The time period that we were reading in Revelation 14 is a little bit after the middle of the tribulation. And we don't know an exact amount, but judging by how many the Bible says get killed, we can be pretty sure that more than two-thirds of the earth's population has already died. Two-thirds. All right, what is the earth's population right now? Around 8 billion? A little over 8? Let's go to 9. Two-thirds would mean 6 billion people dying. And if the angels have to take them to hell, that's an awful lot of angels. I think as Christians, we need to be aware. Number one, of the presence of the Lord. That's most important. We need to be aware of His presence. We need to be aware of the desire on the part of the Holy Spirit to communicate with us. But secondly, we need to be aware that wherever we are, we're never alone. Whatever we're doing, it's being observed. And God has sent His messengers, the angels, to do an awful lot of things that we can't see, but they're going on. They're going on. The reapers are the angels. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 22, Peter was on the rooftop, comes down, gets word that some messengers from the house of Cornelius had come. Cornelius wants Peter to speak with him. In verse 22, they said, come. Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you unto his house and to hear the words of you. An angel was sent. Now, Cornelius, from all that we know, had already heard the gospel for some time. For all we knew, he had heard the plan of salvation in such a way that an average person would have said, yes, I need Jesus to be my Savior. I receive Him. Cornelius didn't up to now. But it was important to the Lord to know how close Cornelius was to making a decision. It was important to the Lord, so much so that He sent an angel to Cornelius telling where Peter was. Now keep in mind, at this time, Peter and the apostles were hiding. They were moving from one house to another so that nobody could come and arrest them. And an angel came, said, Cornelius, go to such and such a house. Peter's there. Are there times, and I know some of you have burdens for people, are there times as you are being faithful in what you're supposed to do that God says, that person you've been praying for, I'm going to send an angel and stir them up so that they're going to want to get saved? Can God do that? Can angels be involved in that? Sure, we're reading that right now. And sometimes when we just want to throw up our hands and we say, well, there's no hope. They heard the word. They heard the Holy Spirit. That's the end of it. No, it isn't the end of it. You're not done till God's done. Amen. We need to keep in mind, God uses angels. Can angels speak to people? Yes. Can angels actually produce dreams? Yes. Visions? Yeah. All depending on what God wants to do. Don't ever lose sight of that. Angels do not act independently, except the devil's angels. God's angels always are directly and immediately under the authority of God Almighty. Angels can provide help for people seeking the Lord. I've heard accounts from missionaries who have gone to various islands that people didn't even want to bother with because they felt the people were so primitive and backward. And I've heard one particular one came out of South America to a tribe that was so backward. And yet God had sent an angel to them, spoken their language, and told them about someone who could tell them about a Savior. And they crossed the river, which they never did, went to this place where this man was on the instructions of the angel. And the chief got saved. Pretty soon most of the people in that entire tribe got saved. This is something we need to be very conscious of. That God doesn't just have us in the middle of nowhere with no support and no help. And I know the first thing, and it should be the first thing that we think of is, yeah, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that deals with the Holy Spirit. But there are so many angels out there that are doing things under the direct command of our Lord. And we have to give him praise for that. Not the angels, but give him the praise for that. Peter was thrown into prison one day. In the book of Acts, again, Acts chapter 12, verse 6, it says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Boy, they didn't want him to escape, did they? I mean, picture that. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And in front of the prison cell, the keepers were there. No way for him humanly to escape. But you go down to verse 7. Acts chapter 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. You know, it's interesting. This is something that pops up every now and then. Evidently, angels are good fighters. You find Elijah in the desert giving up. I'm no better than my fathers. Lord, take me home. I'm ready to die. And God said, you're not through. And the angel came. And then the Hebrew says, he punched him. Now, you know, you look at that, and then you look at this. Here Peter was, sound asleep, and it took an angel to smack him on the side, thrust him on the side. Wake up. Time to leave. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Brings us to one thing that I want to mention. A lot of people have the idea that angels are just spirits. But God's angels are able to materialize. If you study the word carefully and read the book of Jude, you find that the devil's angels were sent to lowest parts of paradise. There are two sections of paradise, the saved side and the lost side. And they were sent there bound in chains. You cannot chain a spirit. But their bodies were down there. And they were held there for a long time until man sinned. And then they said, aha, the protection of God is gone. The countenance is gone. And so these fallen angels, one by one, extracted themselves from their physical bodies and came to the earth. Not all of them all at once. There's still some that are coming. And they came to the earth and they want to inhabit people. This is called demon possession. If they can't possess people, they want to possess animals. They want a body. They want a body. What we find in Scripture is that God's angels are not always in a physical body. They can be. They're able to materialize. Do you remember the Scripture that said, be careful to show hospitality to strangers? Because the Bible says some have entertained angels unaware. Now, how can you entertain an angel unaware unless the angel is able to change his appearance? I mean, if you go home tonight and around 10 o'clock, there's this knock on the door, and you look out, and there you see this big, gigantic white thing with big wings and feathers, you know it isn't the Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. And, you know, that isn't the way angels are going to appear. I mean, if that was an angel and you invite them in, hey, sit down, enjoy our food, you know, we're glad to have you, you would know that that's an angel. But the Bible says some have entertained angels unaware. In other words, they can look just like you and me. That's the only way that could happen. Angels are sent on special assignments. And many times they're not recognized. But it is important, I believe, for all of us to recognize, as we said, number one, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And secondly, the angels that God has sent to accomplish His plan. God does have a plan, doesn't He? He has a plan for America. He has a plan for Europe. He has a plan for Africa. Every place in this world, He has a plan. But more importantly, He has a plan for us individually. And being able to look ahead, He knows the very day and hour that you actually received Him as Savior. He knows when you've repented. He knows everything that you do. And one of the things that angels do, we're not going to get into this too much, but angels also are responsible for keeping records. If God called the angels at the judgment seat of Christ to bear testimony of you and what you do, what you haven't done, there would be plenty of angels that would be able to do that. So I think it's important for us to recognize that God has everything under control. Under His authority are many, many angels. But we too are supposed to be under His authority. He delights in using you to present the gospel, to present hope in Jesus Christ. And what we've seen so far is that, all right, you have the day of Pentecost. The Lord sends the disciples out, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And they went because they were His servants. And the gospel got around the world in no time. And now we're living in the last days. We know that the gospel is going to be hindered as much as the devil can do it. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So until we're taken out of the way, we are going to be able to present the gospel. Now, what happens when the church is taken out of the way? In the book of Revelation, it says there are 144,000 men sealed by God. They will go out and they will present the gospel to the world during the tribulation while we're in heaven or gone from this earth. They're going to be the ones to carry it forth. And then when after all of them are gone, there are still two people. The Bible calls the two witnesses. And these two witnesses are able to do miracles, all sorts of things, and let people know that God is holy and God does not accept sin. And then they're killed. And they're caught up into heaven. Who's left? The Bible says that God sends angels to broadcast the gospel from the atmosphere. From the atmosphere. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe they turn one of these or many of these UFOs into loudspeakers. Who knows? But God's going to do it. And then we see the time when God says, the door is finally shut. Nobody has entered in during the tribulation. Nobody has shown any interest in the things of God. So I'm going to bring down the wrath of God. And he uses angels to do it. It is important for us to see that many of the things that are happening today are in preparation for what is going to happen during the tribulation. Angels behind it. Angels doing things. By the way, let's just say that a politician is reading a message, his little speech, from a teleprompter. Can an angel do anything physical and change a couple of the words around to make him look like a doofus? Can an angel do that? I won't say which politician did this, but recently he supposedly was reading the teleprompter and he says, I'm proud to say that I have created the most effective instrument of fraud in history. And I'm thinking, well, they weren't his exact words, but it's pretty close to it. And I'm thinking, how could he make such a mistake unless those words were there? But, you know, angels can change things around, can't they? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. God can send angels to protect us, too. He can send angels to protect us. But you see, again, that's all at the authority that reigns supreme. The rule of the Lord. And he is the one who determines what the angels will and will not do. His angels. The others are already gone. They're doomed. But God's angels have a work to do in these last days. I don't know whether the angels are going to have to give an account of us individually. I think that they might. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the fact, it asks the question, do you not know that we shall judge angels? And I wonder if any of the good angels have to give an account of whether we listened to what God said in his word, to whether we were faithful to the Lord, or whether we were just bound up with excuses. I wonder if the angels will have to say, this is their situation, this is what they did. I don't know how that's going to go. But I know that angels keep records. They keep notes. And they're going to use them for something. Make an angel's life a little easier. Obey God. Do what the Word says. Be faithful to the Lord. All right. Well, we're looking for a good week. Wednesday, Bible fellowship and opportunities that God will give to us to share the truth with people who need it. And everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your great love to us. We thank you that we have your written word that we can depend upon because you've kept it, preserved it, so that we might benefit. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to realize that when we're tempted to think that things are out of control, they're really not. You have control. You know what you're doing. You have a plan. And more than that, you have the power to carry that plan out. Help us, Lord, to be your instruments, faithful, true. Help us, Lord, to be useful to you in ways that will draw people to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Father, bless each one that's here tonight who takes that seriously and will be your faithful servants. And we give you the praise for what you can do and will do through us when we submit ourselves to you. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.